Chapter 6. Are you sure that's comfortable? Waite squatted in front of Garrick's chair, adjusting the leg, and Ada stood next to him.
Yes, yes, let me try now. Gee, old Sean would be surprised, eh? I'll be able to go back with him on Monday, won't I?
Garrick was trembling with eagerness. We'll see, Waite grunted noncommittally. He stood up and moved round beside the chair. Now, Ada, my dear, take his other arm. Now, listen, Gary, I want you to get the feel of it first. We'll help you up, and you can just stand on it and get your balance. Do you understand? Garrick nodded vigorously. All right, then. Up you come. Garrick drew the leg towards him, and the tip scraped across the wooden floor. They lifted him, and he put his weight on it.
Look at me! I'm standing on it! Hey, look, I'm standing on it!
His face glowed.
Let me walk! Come on! Let me walk!
Ada glanced at her husband, and he nodded. Together they led Garrick forward. He stumbled twice, but they held him. Clunk and clunk again, the peg rang on the wooden floors. Before they reached the end of the veranda, Garrick had learnt to lift the leg high as he swung it forward. They turned and he stumbled only once on the way back to the chair.
That's fine, Garrick. You're doing fine, laughed Ada.
You'll be on your own in no time. Waite grinned with relief.
He had hardly dared to hope it would be so easy, and Garrick fastened on the words.
Let me stand on my own now.
Not this time, boy. You've done well enough for one day.
Oh, gee, Pa, please. I won't try and walk, I'll just stand. You and Ma can be ready to catch me. Please, Pa, please.
Waite hesitated, and Ada added her entreaty.
Let him, dear. He's done so well. It'll help build up his confidence.
Very well. But don't try to move, Waite agreed. Are you ready, Gary? Let him go.
They took their hands off him cautiously. He teetered slightly, and their hands darted back.
I'm all right. Leave me.
He grinned at them confidently, and once more they'd released him. He stood straight and steady for a moment, and then he looked down at the ground. The grin froze on his face. He was alone on a high mountain. His stomach turned giddily within him, and he was afraid. Desperately, unreasonably afraid. He lurched violently, and the first shriek tore from him before they could hold him.
I'm falling! Take it off! Take it off!
They sat him in the chair with one swift movement.
Take it off! I'm going to fall!
The terrified screams racked Waite as he tore at the straps that held the leg.
It's off, Gary! You're safe!
I'm holding you!
Waite took him to his chest and held him, trying to quieten him with the strength of his arms and the security of his own big body. But Garrick's terrified struggling and his shrieks continued.
Take him to the bedroom. Get him inside, Ada spoke urgently.
And Waite ran with him, still holding him against his chest. Then, for the first time, Garrick found his hiding place. At the moment when his terror became too great to bear, he felt something move inside his head, fluttering behind his eyes like the wings of a moth. His vision grayed as though he was in a mist bank. The mist thickened and blotted out all sight and sound. It was warm in the mist, warm and safe. No one could touch him here, for it wrapped and protected him. He was safe.
I think he's asleep, Waite whispered to his wife.
but there was a puzzled expression in his voice. He looked carefully at the boy's face and listened to his breathing.
It happened so quickly, though. It isn't natural. And yet he looks all right. Do you think we should call the doctor?
Ada asked. No. Waite shook his head. I'll just cover him up and stay with him until he wakes. He woke in the early evening, sat up and smiled at them as though nothing had happened. Relaxed and shyly cheerful, he ate a big supper, and no one mentioned the leg. It was almost as though Garrick had forgotten about it.